Yeah, but praise the Lord. Well, I hope you kept what you got this morning, and it sounds like you did. Now, tonight, I want to do our little 10-minute thing that we usually do. And the title is, God Put Eternity in Your Heart for the Ache Nothing on Earth Can Fill. In other words, there's a void in your heart. And this is what's wrong. What is wrong with the world while they drink, while they do drugs, you know, whatever they're doing, is they're trying to fill that void that only Jesus can fill. And so this is what that teaching is about this morning. So we're going to listen to that first.
Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also put eternity into man's heart.
Listen closely to what I say to you this night, my little ones. Eternity is near the door. People are running to and fro looking for something they're never going to find. They will never be satisfied until they receive me as their Lord and their Savior. I have brought you together for a purpose this day, and that is to let you know and let you think about how close we really are. Our walk is not a separate walk. We are one in the Spirit, and we walk together as one. Children, I know who you are. I was with the Father before he formed you and placed you in your mother's womb. I knew exactly what you was going to have to walk out to get to where you're at this day. Be encouraged in my word this night and be encouraged in the songs as you sing. Draw yourself closer unto me. I want you so close to me that you imitate me, that no one will be able to know where you start or where I begin. This is the end time drawing of my spirit. Not all will be drawn because they are still looking to fill a void that only I can fill. All of you, every one of you that are here this night have had that void at one point in your life. And you can testify that it wasn't until you finally received me in all my fullness that that void was filled. You must take this teaching to my people out there. There are still those in the world that are mine that have not yet learned that I am the only one that can fill that void. Look around about you. Look at all the destructions on all sides. Look at the fires. Look at the tornadoes. Look at the rains. Look around about you, little one. The end is coming near. It's even knocking at the door. But I want you. I want you so one with me that even you will not know where you end and I begin. This is not sacrilegious. This is the way it was always meant to be. You and me and I and you, we are one. Now listen intently to what I say. Listen intently to each word of the songs. And let me draw you unto me. Even this night, let me fill that void to overflowing with myself. And then there will be no question marks in your walk with me.
Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. And you walked inside the house tonight, set your keys down on the counter, stood in the center of the living room you spent a decade asking him to give you, the quiet street outside, the lease signed, the threshold crossed, the answered prayer sitting right there on the shelf, exactly where you told God you wanted it. You looked around the room, and the hunger was still there. Unchanged patient, sitting in the corner like something that had been waiting for you to stop moving long enough to notice it. There is a particular kind of confusion that only arrives after the prayer gets answered. The geography changed. The ring is on the finger. The quiet life finally arrived. And the homesickness survived the harvest. The first thing the mind does, with a hunger it cannot explain, is call it ingratitude. You count the things you have. You list them like evidence. A roof, a voice on the other end of the phone, work that pays. And when the ache still doesn't close, you begin the quiet prosecution of yourself. The verdict comes fast in your own handwriting. Something in you must be defective. There is a room in every house that no one talks about. You have a dining room. You set four plates on the table. The food is warm, the chairs are full. And the room feels exactly right. Now imagine there's a room in that same house that you have never been able to furnish. Not because you lack the means, because nothing you carry through the doorway holds its shape once it crosses the threshold. A job title. Saturday with nowhere to be. The warmth of someone sleeping next to you. You bring them in. You set them down. And they sit there, perfectly good, rattling faintly against the walls like shoes in a suitcase. That is far too large for them. That room was not cut to the dimensions of a career, or a marriage, or a country. The Creator carved it himself. He measured it to the exact terrifying scale of something no temporal object was ever meant to occupy. It is not a wound waiting for a bandage. It is a room holding its breath for the only guest it was ever measured for. ...1600 years ago... A man who had tried every room in the house finally sat down in the dark and wrote one sentence. The kind of sentence a man writes only after he is completely exhausted. Every other possible explanation. You have made us for yourself. And our hearts are restless until they rest in you. The ache is a compass needle. It does not point to what is missing in the room. It points to where the room was always meant to open. The fingerprint of God pressed firmly into the wet clay of your chest.
before you drew your first breath. The proof, stitched into your own ribs, that you were built for an entirely different sky. Like holding a photograph of someone you have never met, and feeling with absolute certainty that you know that face.
Did you understand what God was telling you? There's an ache inside of you that only He can fill. It's a vacant room that He wants you to let Him come into and fill that thing full of Himself. You know, it's when He finished giving the prophetic word before the teaching began, He was crying, and he was saying so many souls lost because they're still looking for something to fill that void. You know, church, we need to be a light in a dark, dark world. We need to be a light that shines so brightly that it will draw all men unto you. I know when I first started and I was evangelized, people would come up to me and just hold on to me and just weep. It was God's glory inside, His Holy Spirit at work, drawing men unto Him, not unto me. What's happened in the body of Christ is pastors, leaders, whatever you want to call them, they're drawing people to themselves and not to God. They're going to have to pay a price for that, but you know, I'm not concerned about what other churches are doing. I'm concerned about, are you allowing God to fill that void within you? I'm just hearing God say, you are my future leaders. You are the ones that are going to destroy the works of the enemy. You have to allow me to consume that room you have not let me into yet. You know, that this morning when God was speaking, one thing that I didn't talk about was love. And I got home and God said, why don't you tell him about love? So let's talk about love tonight. You remember God took Bob Jones to heaven. He said, I want you to go back and tell the people the very first thing I'm going to ask them is, did you learn to love? And if you can't love your husband, or if you can't love your wife, if you can't love the members of your family, then you haven't learned to love. The Bible tells us we have to love the unlovable, right? But we don't have to sit at the table and eat dinner with them. In other words, you have to forgive those who have come against you and hurt you. And when God gives you a man or a woman, then you're supposed to love that man or a woman the way Christ loves the church. And until that's perfected in you, God really can't take you to the higher heights that He wants to take you. I really want you to think about that today. You know, we need to quit looking at each other's flaws, and we need to look at that person that God has placed us with as God's child, that He's placed in your care for you to love them, nurture them, and to bring them forth. And I know for a fact that there's many in the body of Christ that can't do that. So why would God place an entire nation in your hands? If we can't love each other in the house of God, right? I'm talking about the lighthouse. If we can't love each other with all of our little quirks, and we all have them, then why would God send in a damaged spirit to have you damage it all the more? Do you understand what I'm saying here? We need to quit looking at people and judging them. We need to ask God, let me see that person through your eyes, Father. And then you tell me how to proceed to bring them the love of Christ. God, and God will do that. Until you learn to love, you're going to find out that that mate or that your brother, sister, whatever, they're going to keep aggravating you. God will let that agitation and aggravation be there until you really learn to love. God's telling me that to say that the church doesn't have the proper understanding of what He's really doing. Remember when God told us the church was going to be different, that it wouldn't be the same? And you know, then He started having us do things, remove the pulpit, do this, do that, go into nothing but praise and worship. I mean, church has not been the same since then. But yet people are still fighting. They want to go back to what God wanted, took us out of. You're going to have to be strong in the Lord and not allow them to draw you back into what was familiar, what was comfortable. because what we're going into is going to be very uncomfortable. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say. He's going to take us to places that we've never been to before. He's doing that so you can't rely on your flesh, you know, to navigate through this new road path we're on. You're going to have to rely totally and completely on God to guide you. I want you to sit and think about that a little bit. You know, Barbara's into the glow. She's into things she's never even heard of before. She cannot bring it to where God wants it to be. God has to do that. And she can't be in there striving. She just has to be at peace with the whole thing. And you know, God, remember a couple months ago, God said to me, when are you going to stop striving? You know, I wanted things to end, but God wasn't ready for them to end yet. I wanted him to do it my way. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's going to do it his way. You can kick and scream the whole way, but he's going to do it his way. Doesn't matter what you want, because your way will not produce the fruit that God's trying to bring out of you. I just want you to really lift your hearts to God tonight as we sing. And just ask him to take, I'm hearing him say, just ask me to take that stubbornness out of you that won't let go of that little bit of flesh. And he's saying the trouble is you're so used to controlling your own life that you don't know how to allow me to control it. Just like that teaching we just saw. And he's just saying, let go and let God. Just let go and let God. Now, I was married twice, and neither one was a real marriage, but I had to just let go and let God. I had to let him bring me through it and still keep my joy. And I've lived it, and I can tell you, you can do that thing. You can. What you're trying to do is shape somebody into the image that you want. But God already gave them to you the way they're supposed to be. Don't try to change them. You need to be saying, God, change me. Take this dark thing out of me that doesn't want to let go. Well, Father God, I just thank you for who you truly are, our Father. You told me never to call you God, but say, Father. And Father God, we really do thank you tonight. Father God, I know that I know that I know that you shine down upon this little church and that you always have us in the palms of your hands, keeping us safe. I thank you, Father God, that we aren't sitting in a tornado or we aren't being in the middle of a fire or a flood. We are right there in the center of your will, sitting in perfect peace, allowing you to change us and rearrange us into your image, allowing you to make us the warriors that we need to be to go forth into this battle that's already raging. Thank you for your son Jesus' name, his precious blood. I know, Father God, it hurt you to watch him endure what he had to endure so that the people could sit in heavenly places, but yet they still reject him. They mock him. They scorn him. But he doesn't care. He's sitting there asking you to forgive us. And Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is a gentleman, and he will move. He will not force himself upon anybody, but he will come in and abide in the hearts of those who are really crying out for more of you. We thank you for the angelic host, Father God, that fights our battles for us, if we will just believe that. We thank you for the ones that have gone before, that are encouraging us to go on. And now tonight, Father God, as we continue on with the praise and worship, I'm asking you to wash us from the inside out. Cleanse us, Father God. Move into that room that you want to move into. In Jesus' name we say all this, Father. Amen. Invite the Holy Spirit in right now through this song.
In the stillness we are waiting. In the quiet we draw near. Every heart is open now.
I'm just hearing God say the altar's open. I need you at the altar of my heart tonight.
Every voice is laid down here.
I would go to the altar if I was you. And truly allow him to come and abide.
We don't come with all the plans. We just come in full surrender. We just lift our empty hands. Let your presence overflow. Let your presence.
Come home. Your presence fill this
This is for the young boy sitting in the back of the room. Son, I am not going to give you the desires of your heart. Instead, I'm going to give you the desires of my heart. My desires go so much deeper, so much greater, to the highest heights than you can ever imagine. The works that I have foreordained you to do, you will do as you surrender totally and completely unto your Father. I saw you lift up holy hands. I heard your prayer. And I have come, son, to take residence with inside of your bosom. Right now, just hold me tightly, son, as I hold you tightly. Let's become one, one in spirit and one in truth. My young people have been led astray by false doctrine. And I'm going to use you, son, to bring my people, my young people, back on the right path. I want to start a revival first within your heart and then have you carry that revival all throughout Delaware. You are my beloved son, and I am well pleased with you. Both of you know where you have been and what you've done. But son, I foreordain you to do a perfect works for me before I ever placed you in your mother's womb. The enemy tried to deceive you. The enemy tried to take you from me. But I would not allow that. But I did allow the trials and the tribulations. I did allow the many visits to the furnace of affliction. I was growing you up, son. I was refining you. I was bringing you to a place of no sufficiency in self. And this day I'm bringing you to a place of total wholeness with me. Do not despise small beginnings, son. I am going to escalate you. I'm going to bring you forth in my might and in my power. And son, you will always stay humble before me. You will always remember the small beginnings. But I will use you as a mighty tower to speak to my young people with conviction. And my Holy Spirit will draw all men unto me. Never want to be worshipped, son. Never want to be put on a pedestal. You are the vessel of honor that I'm going to use. Seek me first in all things, son, and I will take you down the right path. The old has passed away as you sat here tonight, son, and the new has come upon the horizon. Walk in the newness of life this day and never depart from this path that you and I are walking on. You are my beloved son, and as you bring all things to me, I will speak to you and we will straighten them out together. From this day forth, never try to do anything on your own, son. This is a locked-in walk with you and I, and we have a great and a mighty works to accomplish.
has come. Come and be the hero I can't be, the savior that I really need. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Make my heart a cathedral.
Make my life an altar where you're fine.
Beth, my beautiful rose, my rose of Sharon. This beautiful rose, daughter, you put out such a beautiful fragrance. There is no shame or condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. You are my precious, precious rose. I have my arms wrapped around about you. I am pulling you forth into my greater kingdom. I'm going to do a great and a mighty works for you, little one, through you. You will hear the great explosion, and you will know that I have come to blow sin out of the earth. I am handpicking the chosen ones in this season that I'm going to use to bring the great harvest forth. Daughter, do not condemn yourself. You are my child. You are my precious one. It is I that formed you and placed you in your mother's womb, not the enemy. Well, the enemy thought he had you, but now he knows he's lost you, and he is furious. But that doesn't matter. You're fighting a battle that I've already won for you. I brought you forth. I set you in high places. And now, little one, as you've yielded to me this night, and I've filled you with myself, go forth victoriously, never looking back. Sin has no hold on you. You are a child of the Most High God. Walk in that knowledge. And know that you know that you know that you belong to me and we are one.
You are near. You not to rush this sacred space where your love becomes the answer and your mercy fills the
children, I weep tonight. I weep because my heart is so full of love for you. I weep for those who are lost and dying. But little ones, I've been here all night. I have brought healing in my wings. Physical healing, spiritual healing. Receive what you have need of this night. Do not go away hungry. My Holy Spirit is alive and well here. It's filling the atmosphere of my greater glory. Everything you have need of is here this night. Grab hold of it. Grab hold of it. Hang on to it. You are a special breed. No one comes through this door, these doors unless I draw them. And when I draw them, it is at the perfect time in their life. I am changing and I'm rearranging. I am doing a new works. And I need new fresh hearts. I need hearts that have been troubled even. And I am bringing you out of those troubles. And I'm bringing you into my glory realm. I am preparing you to carry your cross that you will carry from this night forth. The burden for the lost and the dying, just as my son did. Don't look back. You left nothing behind you. Everything lies before you. I am going to have you proclaim the gospel of truth. I will place the prophetic gifting inside of each one of you. And you will speak for me. Great swelling words will rise up and you won't know where they come from, but they will just come forth out of your mouth. It is I, the Lord thy God, working through you. Allow me the space. Allow me the time. Don't worry about what the neighbor's doing. You be concerned about what I've called you forth to do. Some will put you down. They will say you don't know what you're doing. Children, listen to my voice and my still small voice only. My sheep do know my voice. My sheep do hear my commandments. Follow me. Follow me with all of your heart. And just be so I can be. You are able to do this great mighty works, or I would not have summoned you forth at this given time.
Kingdom is coming now. becomes heaven.
Here comes heaven.
Oh, here comes heaven.
Worthy is the Lord, worthy is the Lord, for you are all.
worship the King. He's holy. Let him come in and abide tonight. Let him abide deep within. There's healing in his wings tonight. Receive that healing. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's worthy. He's worthy of all the praise. Give him honor tonight. He's drawing you to himself in a way he's never drawn you before. Enter in. Enter into his bosom. Children, I'm gathering you tonight as a hen gathers her chicks. I'm covering you with the pinions of my love is overflowing over you this night. Come into the safety of my arms. Come. Come abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you received a word, you can get your tape from the sound booth. If you want a copy of the whole service, I think Teresa Ann has that also. You just have to ask her. But Father God, we thank you for your anointing. Father God, I just hear you say you destroyed the destructive spirit that has been ruling and reigning over your children's lives this night. And Father God, we thank you for everything you did from start to finish. We thank you, Father God, that we do belong to you and that you are holy. And you are calling us into that same holiness. Love, Father God, restores all things. Thank you for loving us, Father God, and restoring us back into our rightful place in your kingdom, in your arms. And we do say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Father God, we always want your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Many of you in here tonight, God's been showing me that you've allowed man's voice to lead, guide, and direct you, and he wants you to stop that. I'm not telling you to become rebellious. But he wants to be the one to lead, guide, and direct you. Not everybody's going to understand what God is going to be doing through you, but that doesn't matter. Just follow God's voice and do what he's asking you to do.